Okay, we're going to start here. The two dots, the top of Chav Tet Amud Aleph. Gemara is continuing what we saw in the Mishnah about Ohavo and Sono. Gemara says, or the Mishnah had said, Ohavo zeh shushbino. That is his best man that is at his wedding. But kama, how long is he classified in this category? So Amarav, Amarabirmi, Amarav, Kol Shivat Yimei Amishteh. All the 7 days of Sheva Brachot is classified as being shushbino. Rabbanan Mishmei, the Rav Amrei, Afilu Miyom Rishon Veilech. After the first day, he's not classified as a shushbin anymore. I mean, he's discharged his obligation to be a shushbin at the wedding after he's completed the first day. And therefore, for the subsequent days of Sheva Brachot, he's no longer classified as being Ohavo. Hasoneh, Koshelo Deber Imho. He said, what's the classification of a sin? So no, someone who hates, that's someone who hasn't spoken to his another friend because of some incident that came up between them. Turnabanan, Vihu lo Yevlo. When it says about, when we're talking about murder in this instance, it says, he did not hate him. So if he did not hate him, therefore he could testify him. And he didn't want any evil to happen to him. Then he can be a dayan in the case.
We see from the Pesukim that clearly if he's a soneh, that's a preclusion for him being an aid or being a dayan.
Only true because the Pesukim talk about a soneh. Ohev minolan. How do we know that someone who is close, meaning someone that is dear to the other person, also would be kari behochi? V'hulo yevlo. So read it like this. He didn't hate him. V'lo yevlo. And he didn't love him. Yeidenu. He can be an aid for him. V'lo mevakesh rato. V'lo tabato. And if he didn't look to do evil to him or to benefit him, then yedinenu. Right? So then you can be a judge. When it says, me de ohev k'tiv. The word ohev doesn't appear in the pasuk at all. How are you altering the pasuk to include the other side of the coin, which is the ohev versus the soneh? All the pasuk talks about is the soneh. Elasvaruhu. It's a logical argument. Ohev, my taimo. What's the reason that an ohev may not testify in these instances or not be a dayan? It's because mishum de marchaka date. Because he cannot see properly or objectively for this party. He's always be biased to the negative for the party. Ohev nami mikarva date. Ohev is just the opposite side of that coin, that he is too close to the individual, and therefore he's unable to see the chovot. He's unable to see the negative side of the coin. You see here from the Gemara here is leaning towards an explanation that the problem with krovim is actually the problem of kirva. It has to do with them being actual relatives rather than simply being gzeirat hakatuv. Because here the Gemara is willing to apply a logic which says just because they're relatives and they're closer, that has the same reasoning as people who hate each other, who are a distance away. We're worried about the bias because of their emotional feelings towards the individual. Again, we saw in yesterday's daf, again, yesterday it seems to be that the Gemara would not entertain that as being the reason, but they needed was gzeirat hakatuv. Rabbanan, hi. Now this is all according to Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah, because he believes that the Oyev and the Soneh are precluded from testifying in these instances. But the Chamim said, Lo nechshedu Yisrael al kach, that they're not nechshed on this, and there's no problem. So Chad, so what are they going to use this? Chad Adayan. One is for a Dayan, we need, there we're talking about Eidut. By a Dayan, it's clear that he has to not be an Oyev or a Soneh. Idach, what are they going to use the other Pasuk for? Meditanya. We have two Talmid Chachamim that don't get along with each other. There's some sort of differences between them that they shouldn't sit in the same Beis Din. Over here, we don't allow two Talmid Chachamim that don't get along to sit in the Din because we don't want their differences to affect the outcome of the case or the litigants here. So therefore, we say please, we don't seat them in the same Beis Din. Right now, Mishmar begins, Ketzad Bokim et Eidim. How do we check out the edim? How do we ensure that they are telling the truth? They bring them into a room, and we cause them some fear. We'll have to see what that is. Then we take everyone out, and then we leave the rosh, or the leader of the edim. Tell us what happened. Right? If he says that he told me that he's chayav, ish ploni amar li shu chayav, or somebody told me through hearsay that he was chayav to him, lomar klum, that's not a valid testimony. Ad shiomar bifaneinu hodeh lo shu chayav lo matam zuz. Till there says in front of us, he admitted to the individual that he owed money. I mean that just because the debtor says I am obligated to pay money, and just because the debtor says, or we hear from someone else that the debtor said that he owed money, that's not enough. In order to be chayav, we have to witness or be here for the debtor saying in front of edim that he owes the money. Then we bring in the second aid of Utkimoto and we check him out. if we find that their testimony is consistent, then nosim notim b'davar, then we deliberate about the issue. Shnai morim zakai, if two of the judges say patur, or that he's innocent, chayav omer chayav, and one says he is obligated, zakai, we go by the majority in zakai. Shnai morim chayav, chayav omer zakai, if two say he's obligated, or he must pay over here, and one says no, chayav, again we go over to the majority. Chayav omer chayav, chayav omer zakai, it's a split decision, one on each, then the third party, afilu shnai mezakim or shnai mechamim, or even if two say he's chayav, or two say he's zakai, which you have a rov now, chayav omer eni yodea, if the third judge says, I don't know, yosifu adayanim, he's considered as if he's not there anymore. If he's considered not there, we have to add on dayanim to get the beisdin back to a qualified beisdin. Gamruat davar. Once they decide, make their decision, ayu machtesim otan, the Gemara would ask, who is it that we are bringing in? Hagadol shebedayanim omer. The top or the lead judge says, ish ploni ata zakai, or ish ploni ata chayav. So that he gives the decision of the court, or renders the decision of the court, to the litigants there. Umnayim sheyetze, after they leave the court, lo yomar ani mezakeh v'chavarai mechayvin, he shouldn't say, listen, I wanted to make you innocent, but my friends said you're chayav, v'mayaseh shechavarai rabu alai, but I was in the minority. Azeh ne'amar, so here the question of whether they quote the psukim of here, either lo teilech rachil b'amecho from Chumash, or from Mishlei, is olech rachil maglesot, the Gemara is going to deal with the what the problem is, and deal with these issues, whether the Mishnah actually quotes these psukim or not, is subject to a debate in the Girsa Ot. Heichi Amrei Luhu. What do they say to the Edim? When we say they bring them in here to be Ma'ayim Aleim, what do they say to them? This is what we say to them. Quote the Pasuk from Mishlei, Nisi'im Veruach V'geshim Ayin Ish Mitalel B'matat Sheker. So the clouds and the wind come, but there is no rain. Ish Mitalel B'matat Sheker, a person who praises himself for something he doesn't do, a gift that he never gives. Gemara in Tanis actually quotes this Pasuk with regards to people who make promises and don't fulfill their promises to Tzedakah, or to giving to Hekdesh. And it says here, it's like the clouds and the wind that come that looks like it's going to rain, and then it doesn't rain. I mean, they make all these promises, and they make all these commitments, and they don't fulfill their commitments. So over here, they have the rain and the clouds come, but they don't do what they're supposed to do, which is give rain. Over here, they're saying that these are Nisim V'ruach Geshim Ayinu Ish Mitalel B'matat Sheker. Listen, if you speak falsely over here, I mean, the falseness over here, it's going to cause that there won't be any rain. So, Amar Rav, Yochle the Meimar, Rav says, listen, wait, you know what? The witnesses can think to themselves, Shav Shnei Havakafno, 7 years of a famine, but Bava Umna Alo Cholif. When it comes to an artisan or craftsman, that doesn't affect him. Meaning that when you say there's no rain because of the false testimony, he's going to say, listen, I don't work in the fields. I'm not in agriculture, so it's not going to affect me. I mean, people in agriculture will be affected by that, but there are other people who are craftsmen, and those craftsmen are still busy even when there's no rain. This is the pasuk that we use for them. It says, "Mefitz v'cherev v'chet shanun ish unebreo eid shaker," that the maul and the sword and the sharp arrow are the tools or what the of a person who speaks falsely about his friend. So, Amar Ravashi, Yochle Meimar, Shev Shani, Hava Motno. So over here, the Gemara is again suggesting that the Ma'ayman Alem is if you speak falsely, there's going to be plagues and punishments from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the individual can say, listen, there's 7 years that there were plagues or problems over here. And people still didn't die any younger than they would have otherwise. I mean, who says it has to affect me? People could still survive these things. People don't necessarily get affected by them. Amar Ravashi, Amar Lei, Notan Bar Marzut. Now they said this, even the false witnesses when they're hired by others, even by the people who hire them, they're considered to be lowlives. Because it says by Yizevah when she hires these individuals, Edei Sheker, to testify against Navot, to get the Kerem for Achav, it says, V'oshivu shnayim anashim b'nei me'al, she writes a letter to the Zekenim and to the Chori in the city of Navot, and it says, you should hire two individuals, b'nei Belial, people without any regard for others. I mean that she's speaking about these witnesses she's about to hire to work for her, and she's calling them lowlives. So, negdo, v'yidu leimor b'rachtelu kim v'melech, and they'll testify about Navot, that he cursed the Hashem and the king. So over here, even when she's going to hire them, I mean that if you think that you're getting paid to do this, and people are going to consider you to be good people, they, even the people who hired you, are going to treat you like dirt. So if they're going to treat you like dirt, certainly you should consider yourselves not. This is not going to elevate you or not make you any better. People are going to think less of you at this point in time. You've got to consider whether it's really worthwhile to be speak or to give Edu Checker. So the Mishnah continues about Im Hu Amar Li עד שיאמרו בפנינו הודה לו שהוא חייב לו 200 זוז. מסיילה לרב יהודה, בדעמי רב יהודה מרב, צורך שיאמר אתם עדי. That he has to designate these individuals as being edim. Meaning that in our Mishnah it's indicative of the fact that just because he admits that he owes money, that does not obligate him to be chayav money. He must indicate that he's looking at these individuals as edim in order to make it a testimony or a statement of fact that we can rely on and based in. Sayyid Marnami, we have a similar statement. Probably over here there should be the statement, it's the same statement that Rabbi Yehuda Rav says. And then Tanya Nami Yachvi, a brisa that supports this, Manele Biyadecha, he says, listen, you owe me 100. So I'm like, hey, you're right, I do. The Machar Amarlo Tenevli, next morning he comes up and says, give it to me. Amarlo Meshate Ani Becha. I was joking when I said that yesterday. Patur, he's patur, v'lo eod, el afilu hichmin lo edim achrei hageder. Even if he plants edim, he tries to entrap him, he puts edim behind the fence. V'amar lo maneli biyadecha, amar lo hey, he says, yes, I owe you 100. Tzoncha shitiv vadeh b'fnei ploni u'ploni. Amar lo, he says, look, you want to admit in front of so-and-so? I mean, he's quoting the edim, even though he doesn't know the edim are there. Ani ledin. So he says, no, I don't want to do that. I'm afraid that they'll take me to din if I do that. L'machar amar lo, t'nei uli, he says, next morning he says, give me my money. Amar lo, m'shateni b'cha, I was joking with you, patur. He's patur. So again, in all these instances, we're saying that until we formalize the context in which he is admitting to owing the money, then we can always make a claim, I was joking when I said I owed you the money. I really don't owe you the money. So only when we know for certain the edim are set out to be edim, then in that context he can't say I was joking. Then in front of edim, you don't joke anymore. It becomes the formalization of the context, makes it that a person doesn't joke. He's got to tell the truth in that instance. So now, Braisa continues or ends with this statement, Ein tonim lemesit. We do not look to the benefit, or we are not making any claims on behalf of someone who caused others to do wrong, who caused others to worship a rezera. Where it says, Mesit mandakar shmei. What is Mesit doing in this Braisa? This Braisa has nothing to do with Mesit, and all of a sudden you're bringing it up. Where it says, Chosurei mechsera, it's missing some words, the Braisa. Valchiktani, this is what it means. Imlo ta'an. Ain't onim lo. Right, if he doesn't, it comes to dinei mamononot, if he doesn't make a claim to his benefit, we don't claim on his behalf instead of him. Ubedina nafashot, but when it comes to capital cases, avagav lo ta'an tonim lo. If he doesn't make a claim that's to his benefit, we will make it on his behalf, because the beis din is mitzuveh to look to the schut of the individual, to always try to protect the individual. Ve'ain't onim lo mesit. But even in capital cases, there's one exception to that rule, and that is a mesit. Over there, we're not toying on behalf of the mesit. Maishna mesit. Why is it by a mesit that we are not? It's a capital case. Why don't we look to his benefit? The Rachman Amar, lo tachmo v'lo techase alav. Because by a mesit it says, have no mercy on him and do not cover up for him, meaning do nothing to his benefit. So I'm Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachman, I'm Rabbi Yonatan, minayin shein tovanim lemesit. From where do you know that? I'm okay, fine, that's the pasuk, but where do you know this? Minachasha kadmoni, from the snake, by Adam and Chavo, Damar Sinai, Haber Tanu, Tayolo lenachash liton. The Nachash had a response to Akash Baruch Hu. He could have said, Velotan, but he didn't do this. So why didn't Hashem speak up in his defense? The fish lotan hu, because the Nachash himself didn't speak up. I mean, here the Nachash is a mesit. He caused Chava to do a sin, to eat from the Eitz Da Tovira, which eventually caused Adam to eat from it. And Hashem comes and speaks to the Nachash and says, he implicates him right away. He doesn't say anything on his behalf. Now, truly, the Nachash had a claim. Now, the Nachash himself didn't make the claim, so why didn't Hashem speak up in his defense? So, Mar says, Mavelin Meimar, what would have been the defense? Divrei Rav, v'divrei Talmid, divrei Mishomim. When it comes to, you want to listen to the Rav being a Kodesh Baruch Hu, the Talmid being the snake, all right? So he speaks to Chava and he says, look, they had a choice. They could have made a free choice. God said one thing, I said another thing, and they listened to me. They should have listened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why are you making me responsible? They should be responsible for their decision. So the guys, when it comes to Divrei Mishumim, Divrei Rav Shumim, you have to listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, we see over here that despite the fact that he had a good taina, we don't make that taina on his behalf because he was a mesit, because he was trying to cause others to sin and others to do wrong. So the Tosfos says, well, based on this claim here, then any mesit should have this claim. I mean, what happened with the Nachash HaKodmoni is that he didn't make the claim, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't make the claim on his behalf. But the indication from this, or the implications of that statement mean that if he did make the claim, it would have been a good claim. So it says, well, v'im tomar, im ken kol mesit yipater atzmo ba'oto ta'ana. Every mesit should go make this claim. He says, "Divrei Rav, Divrei Talmi, Divrei Mishomim." I tried to convince him to worship by Avodah Zarah, but they had a choice. They could have listened to me, listened to Hashem. They should have listened to Hashem. Why am I on the hook for what they did? So the Gemara Tosfos answers over here. V'yesh lamar that dafka nachash shlo nitzaveh shlo leesit lo neanash elafish shibata tekala yado. By the nachash, he never had a specific command not to cause others to do wrong. I mean, so therefore Hashem would have given him that opening had he made the claim. But that's not true of omesit shnitzaveh. Over here, already the Torah and Dvarim gives us clear indication that if someone causes others to do sin or to worship over Zerah, they're on the hook for it. So then we don't, even if he makes the claim, we don't listen to him anymore. Shlo lehasit. Right, so as soon as he is, does this, he's violating that Torah law, and therefore he doesn't get the benefit of the doubt anymore. Even though he could make such a claim, we don't allow him to make such a claim in this instance. Now, Amar Chizkiya, from this we can learn, Minayin Shekol Mosiv Goreya. In this case, by Adam and Chava, we can see that anybody who adds something, sometimes doing more is less. Why is this Shenemar? Amar Elukim Lo Tochlu Mimenu V'Lo Tigu Bo. So when Adam instructs Chava about what to do with its Tovara, he says, Elukim Lo Tochlu, say Lo Tochlu, you're not allowed to eat it, Mimen V'Lo Tigu Bo, and not touch it. So Hashem only said that you're not allowed to eat from the Eitz Tovara. Adam added the additional instruction that you're not allowed to touch it. So now, when Chava went, the snake, according to the Midrash, pushed Chava to touch it, and he said, look, nothing happened to you when you touched it. So she was convinced after that she touched it, nothing would happen, that she could eat it as well. But that was all because of the addition of Adam, that he had said, don't touch it. That was never the instruction of Hashem. So Rav Moshe Yishai Amar Mihalcha, we can learn from here, Amatayim V'chetzi Arko, when it comes to the measurements of the, in the Mishkan, it says that it's 2.5 in length. So over there, if you leave out the aleph at the beginning of the word, it would have been matayim v'chetzi arko. So matayim v'chetzi arko. Do we put in the aleph? It comes amatayim. So it goes from 200 to being 2 because you add in an aleph. So as you see, kol mosif goreya. When you add on, you reduce it. Vashemar ashtei esrei yiriot. When it came to the coverings over the mishkan, it says that they were 11 ashtei esrei. Now again, the addition of the ayin reduces here. Why? Because you could have said shtei esrei. It would have been 12. Instead, it says ashtei esrei. So it means the addition of the ayin makes it 11. It would have been 12, and now you reduce it to 11 by adding in a letter. So back to our Gemara here. We only say that we believe him over here when he says, I was joking. I mean that he says, listen, you admitted, we heard that you admitted that you owe him money. You could say, listen, I was joking over there. That's a valid claim. But, aval amar lo ayu dvarim me'olam. If he comes along and says that never happened, then huksa kafran, he's not believed anymore. I mean that if we find out, we bring a demon and say that he did admit it, and he said that never happened, then he's huksa kafran. Then we don't believe anymore, he has a chazoko that he will deny things that happen that are truthful, and he loses his nemanut in that case. Again, he can say, he can interpret his words to say, which means that he's acknowledging that the admission happened, but he just says that in the context that it was said, it wasn't meant to be a formal declaration that I owe you money. But if he denies the whole incident, and we find out there was such an incident, in that case we say we can't believe you anymore, because now you start to, you're actually lying. If you're lying, then you're not believable. This is what we say. He says, wait a minute, no. Even in this case, if he denies the whole situation, he's still believed. Why? Because things that people say willy-nilly, things that people say as a joke, they don't remember. I mean, that he didn't keep it in mind that he had said this or he admitted it because he was joking at the time. He was playing around with the guy. He didn't mean to admit it in a formal context. So if it wasn't formal context, you come to him a while later, 6 months later, and you ask him about it, he doesn't remember the incident at all. So when he denied it, he's not denying because he's trying to deny the whole incident. He's denying because he doesn't remember the incident. And therefore, from that, you can't be mukzak kafran. We're not going to say that you are determined to be a liar or someone who cannot tell the truth, because maybe the reason that you're not saying it over here, or the reason that you said it, is because you just don't remember. And therefore, even when he denies the whole incident, it's still considered, he's still considered to be Neman, and he won't have to pay the money. How the Achman le Edim the Chavre, someone who hid, right, planted Edim for his friend, Bikil Te, in his canopy that's over his bed. Amalei, mana lebi adecha, amalei, hey. He says, listen, you owe me 100. He says, yes. Amar, Iri v'shichvi l'havu alech sade. Those that are awake and those that are asleep should be Edim on this statement. Amalei, lo. He says, no, I don't accept that. And therefore, the Edut is not a good Edut. Amar Rav Kahana, Hamarlei, lo. Rav Kahana says, listen, of course, he said no, of course there's nothing to talk about here. How would Achman Edim be Kivra? Someone who hid Edim in a cemetery, the Chavre, Amalei, Marlei be Adecha, comes up to him and he says, listen, do you owe me money? You owe me 100? He says, yes. Amalei, hey. The dead and the living should be witnesses here. Again, he's trying to chap him because there are people who are alive there. And if he admits and he agrees to it, then it'll work. Amalei lo. He says no. So Amar Reb Shimon, Amalei lo. Again, over here, the answer, as Rav Shimon Lakish says over here, he said no. If he said no, then it doesn't work. He didn't accept it. There are edim in this case. So again, Shema Mina, what can we learn from this? Okay, he said no, and it doesn't count. I mean, that we wanted to put him in the context of edim, and he failed to put him in the context of edim. Then he can say, I'm playing around with you. I didn't mean to say it in any formal context. So what is this? What are these two statements that we're learning from? What are we learning from this? So if we can learn from this, we can learn out what Rabbi Yehuda Marav tell us. He has to designate the Edim and to say, acknowledge that he's in a formal context and that they are the Edim. It doesn't matter if the Loveh is the one who says or volunteers have these be the Edim, or whether the Malveh says these are our Edim and the Loveh does not object. So in the two cases before, he said no. So when he said no, the Edim don't count. If he says nothing, that's an admission by default, by being silent, an admission that he realized that the context is formal and these individuals are the Edim. Taimo damar Loveh lo, because in these cases before, because Loveh said no, avali shatik, had he been silent, hachanami would have worked. There was this individual they used to call Mr. Debtor, meaning that he had a lot of outstanding shtarot on him for debt. Amar man mesikbi. He says, Laploni Uploni. He said, yeah, why do they call me that? There's nobody who I owe money to except for so and so. Atu Tavuel the Dina. So those people who heard from him that he kind of owed them money, they said, come to the din and say, you know, come on, come to Rav Nachman. They went before Rav Nachman and said that he's got to pay us. Rav Nachman, Damasui, Shalol Azbiat Atzmo. So a person sometimes says things like this in order to other people don't believe that he's rich or wealthy. He'll say, look, we have lots of outstanding debt here. What are you talking about? I'm not rich. I'm not wealthy. I owe this guy money and this guy money and this guy money. Now, even though it's not true, a person will say such a thing, and therefore we can assume that when he comes to court and says, you know, I was joking about this, or I didn't really mean to say it, I was trying to deflect these individuals so they wouldn't think I was rich. We can say that, and this is not considered to be a formal admission of owing the money. Baba Bash, we said that when it comes to a Shechiv Meira, when he's on his deathbed and he says something, he can't make a claim of a Shatea Ani Becha that I'm joking, because nobody jokes on their deathbed. So why don't we, over there, okay, you can't say Meshatea Ani Becha. In the case of Baba Bash, you can't say I was joking. But maybe he could still say, I didn't want to be lesbian, Tzitzmo. He wanted to say, I didn't want to look rich. I didn't want to look wealthy. And that's why he said it on his deathbed. So Tosus also in Baba Bash makes the same distinction. He says, depends on the context. In the context where someone is specifically asking, do you owe someone money? Or you making a claim against him, you owe me money, and he admits to it as a shemir on his deathbed, over there people don't lie. Number one is they don't make jokes on their deathbed. And number two is they know that this person is making a formal claim. They're not going to respond to make themselves not look rich to this formal claim, knowing that if they respond in the positive, that then he'll owe the money. So he won't do that. On the other hand, if it's in a context where nobody's making the claim against them, he just makes the voluntary admission, in that case, he can say, Lola Zbiat, that's more, that he's doing it to show that he's not rich, and the same way we do by Shechiv Meira. If he volunteers the information, we could just say, Lola Zbiat, that's more, Lola Zbiat, Banav, we'll see in the Gemara in a little bit. But he cannot make that claim when there's a formal claim being made against him, then he can't say, oh, I'm just trying to not be rich. So how would the Abakari lay Achbara, the Shachiva Dinari? There was this individual, they used to call him the Achbar, because a weasel of some sort, or some sort of rodent, that he used to store all of his food, like the mice or rodents that take all their food into their hole. He used to sleep on his money, he used to not spend any money. He was very wealthy, but he was miserly, he didn't spend his money. He called Shachi, when he was a bad pastor, Amar Plan Yapanu Masku Bezuze, says, I owe money to so-and-so. So these individuals, after he passed away, went and made a claim against the Yoshim, right? And they said, listen, you owe us money. Your father said he owes money. So after the Kameh, the Rabbi Shmuel, the Rabbi Yossi, they went to Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi for a psak. When a person says that he wants to deflect from people from thinking he's rich, that's when he's alive. After he's dead, meaning that he's on his deathbed here, right? He wouldn't do such a thing. Because why does he need to deflect people from thinking he's rich anymore? He's not going to be around anymore. Where it says, Paro Palgo. So the Yoshim paid half of it. Tavino le din al idach palgo. So these same individuals went, and after they didn't pay the other 50% they owed, they took him to din again. But this time they came out to the Kameh de Rabbi Chia. They came before Rabbi Chia in this case. Amalu. Shem shadam asui lo azbiat atzmo, kach adam asui lo azbiat banav. Just like a person does not, or gives an impression that he's not wealthy, he'll say things that are false in order to give the impression that he's not wealthy, so too a person will say about his children, or to protect his children, and say that they're not wealthy, either because he doesn't want people to make claims against the children, or he doesn't want the children to think that they're so wealthy. But either way, he will make such claims, even on his deathbed, in a circumstance that he wants to protect his children, or he's trying to indicate that he's not wealthy. So if that's the case, then when he made this claim, you don't have a right, based on his statement, to come now and make a claim against the Yoshim. So Amrulay, Nizel Benader. So maybe we should give back the 50% they paid us already. So Amrulay, Kvar Hore Zakein. The Zakein already was Hore, meaning Rabbi Shmuel, but Rabbi Yossi gave a Psak Halacha. I'm not going to undermine his Psak, but with regards to the other 50%, you don't have to pay, or the Yoshim don't have to pay it. It's interesting over here, what we said, Kvar Hore Zakein. We had this earlier in the Gemara, Daf Chav Dalet. That was with regards to Rabbi, how Rabbi showed respect for Rabbi Yossi, even though he was on a higher level than Rabbi Yossi, and to his son, Rabbi Shmuel, but Rabbi Yossi said, Kfar Horez Zakein. If your father said this, then we go with it. Now over here, Rabbi Chia, who's a Talmud of Rabbi, also was saying about Rabbi Shmuel, but Rabbi Yossi, Kfar Horez Zakein. If Rabbi Shmuel, but Rabbi Yossi said something, then it's, we keep it, we're not gonna undermine it, but we won't force you to pay in the future. So Rabbi Chia, Talmud of Rabbi, treated or had that same, deference towards, individuals, even though they had given the wrong Pesach, or they didn't believe the Pesach was right, they still gave deference to those individuals. Okay, if he admits before two people that he owes money or he owes some object, and and they make a kinyan about it, kotvim, then you can write it down. The edim then can document such a kinyan. If there's no kinyan in kotvim, they can't write it down. So again, if we're talking about here that we want to create a formal context, the formal context can be created by different manners. One is a temedai. Designating the edim creates the formality of the context in which he's admitting. The other possibility of creating a formal context is a kinyan, which is gemirat hadat. If there's a kinyan that is done in front of the individual who admits, then we say, wait, that's giving certain finality, certain context of formality to the admission, and therefore the edim that are there can document what transpired over here. Rashi indicates over here that's because a stam kinyan is nitan likatev, that a stam kinyan is done in a context or a formality that you expect it to be documented, that why is a person fearful of it being documented? So therefore we would go ahead and tell the edim to go ahead and document it. But nevertheless, if he wants to back away and he wants to reverse his position, he's able to reverse his position over here. On the other hand, if this whole this admission or this transaction took place before three, but there was no kinyan. Rav amar kutvim. Rav says we write it down. Rav Asi amar in kutvim. So what's the difference between three and two? Well, two is edut. That's testimony. So we said, in order to formalize the context, either you have to designate them as a demon, say, atem I die, or he makes a kinyan that formalizes the context. Over here we have three. Three is no longer a dud, but rather a beit din. A beit din gives formality to the context, even without a kinyan, and even without atem I die. A beit din, by definition, is formal and context. So therefore, over here, Rav says, kotvim, you can write it down, it was done before Shasha. Rav Asi Amar in kotvim, you're not allowed to write it down. There was a case like this, v'chashla Rav lahad Rav Asi. Rav worried about Rav Asi's position, and therefore he didn't allow them to write it down, or he didn't accept the written down claim. So Rav Adar Bravo, ha udita. There's these admission, documents of admission, zimin and kadvinin, and zimin lo kadvinin. Sometimes we did write them down, sometimes we did not document them. Knife v'yatve lo kadvinin. If they were already sitting, if the three people were already sitting in judgment, then we didn't write it down because we said he just did it as a matter of convenience. He saw three people sitting, he saw a Beis Din sitting, so he went ahead and they did it in front of him. But that doesn't mean that he intended for them to be a Beis Din. Had there been two there, he might have been fine with two. He really wants Edut, not a Beis Din. On the other hand, Kanfino, Ihu, Katvina. If he actually specifically, they demand that a Beis Din be there, or they gather a Beis Din together to have this done, this transaction done in front of them, or this admission done in front of them, then we document it because it's clear that he wanted a Beis Din. If he wants a Beis Din, we've given formality to the context. Rav Amar, Afilu Kanfino, Ihu lo Katvina. Even if they ask for the Beis Din to come, we still don't document it. Adar Malu, Avalayu, Alai, Dayane. Until he specifically designates them as Dayanim. Amar Baravashi, Amar, Afilu Amar, Havu Alai, Dayanai. Baravashi says, even if he says, Be my Dayanim, lo Katvinin, Adakave, Duchto, B'shachim, Zamnele, the Beis Din. Until they specify the court that it's going to be in, and they send out a demand for him to show up in the court. I mean, they, again, how formal a context does it have to be in order for the admission to be classified as an admission strong enough that we can document it? So the first opinion, Rav said it, you can write it down if it's just Shlosha. Then we came and qualified that according to Rav Adar Bar Abba, and says it's only if they ask for the Beis Din to be there, not that they just happened upon a Beis Din. Rabbah says, well, even if they happen to have a Beis Din, right, until they calls them Dayanim, that's not enough to give it formal context. Then my Rav Asher says, even if he calls them Dayanim, that's not enough. It has to be so formal that they actually, they're covey a time and a place, and they demand that the litigants show up there. Now, The Gemara says, "Hodeh b'metaltalei v'kano miyado." If he admits to owing metaltalim and they make a kinyan, kotvim, we write it down. B'mlav ein kotvim. If not, we don't write it down. B'mekarkei v'lo kano miyado. If we're talking about land and there was no kinyan here, amai. What's the din? Amai mar amar ein kotvim. No kinyan. There's no formalization of the context. Ein kotvim. We don't write it down. Marzutra amar kotvim. But just as we write it down, why? Because it's karka. When it comes to metaltalin, metaltalin can move around. They can be spent. They can be expended. They can disappear. Therefore, the kinyan formalizes the context. But when it comes to admission by karka, karka doesn't move anywhere. There's nothing he can do. There's nothing more that he can do to formalize the context that's here in terms of a kinyan. The karka is sitting right there. So therefore, ilchasa kotvim. And that's what we say. The loch is that you do document such an admission when it comes to karka. Ravina ikla lemadharayo. Ravina went to Madarayo. Malay Ravdimi bar Rav Huna midarayo. He said from them, the Ravina, metaltale bi'inu be'inayu. What happens if the metaltalim are here and sitting in front of us? What's the din? Some are like, kimekarke domo. They should be exactly like karko. Meaning that the whole idea or the difference between metaltalim and karko over here is that by metaltalim, there's a chisaron guvaina. You can't collect them because they're not there. They've gone somewhere else to the hotzanitna, and therefore, without a kinyan, we can't formalize the admission. On the other hand, when it comes to karka, karka is just right in front of us. If he admits it, there's nothing left for him to do. It's his now because he admitted to it. So therefore we say, now what about metaltalim that are here? If metaltalim are in front of us, do we say then the metaltalim look like karka? They're exactly like karka because they're here and they're available for us to take. Or do we say, still, even by metaltalim that are here, he could still expend them, they're din hotza, and they still need to be collected from. So he answered him, that's kumar karko damar. Ravashi Amar came into mechusrei guvaina. Since they still haven't been collected on, even though they're here and available to us, since they haven't physically been taken, therefore they are not classified as, or we don't have the right to write down or document such a transaction, because we don't have a, kinyan here. Tosos just points out over here, it's interesting, Tosos, he says that, he quotes the Rivan, B'Shem Rashi, the Rabbeinu Chanan, the Rabbeinu Gershom, and then the Bahag later on, Seder Toim of Moraim, he says, that B'Kulei Shas, Hilchakotum Bar Bar Vashi, that the Halacha is always like Bar Bar Vashi whenever he appears in Shas, Bar Mi Behepech Shua Vodita. Except for two cases, one is that, we allow for a shvua to be flipped onto the other party on a shvua d'oraisa. That halacha is not like Mar Bar Avashi. And over here, our case of Odita over here, that it's not, the halacha is not like Mar Bar Avashi. But on the other hand, in the Rabbeinu Chanano, in one other place, Rabbeinu Chanano is pasuk k'mar Bar Avashi, bar mim be'epech shvua v'chiyure. He doesn't pass like Mar Avashi in these other two instances, but in this instance over here, he does pass an halacha like Mar Bar Avashi. Okay, we'll stop over here.